Hello, everybody. My name is Richard, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm not Ralph. And several people have came in looking for Ralph, and I have to say that I was a last inning substitute for Ralph. I'm pleased to be here, but I will depend a great deal upon the old axiom that chairpersons are supposed to chair and speakers speak, so you won't be hearing too much from me. But I want to tell you that I am grateful to be here. It's because of AA, because of a higher power, because of the love and like people like you in the fellowship. I haven't found it necessary to have a drink for 18 days. 5 months and 34 years. I've been asked to remind you to please turn off your cell phones so that it won't interfere with the speakers. I think I'd like to take just a moment, if we could, to contemplate the blessing of being here and remembering that there are those yet to come, and we should all be thinking about them as well. We'll have a moment of silence and followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's my pleasure to chair this meeting and welcome to all of you who've come this afternoon. I've been trying to figure out if you're the choir that they talk about that show up and the last session of the last day. That's it's so nice to see so many here. I want to say one thing about personal responsibility, and it's the only part of my story that you'll hear today. But I found the idea of personal responsibility as a result of working the steps. Got to the 12th step, and I found out that it wasn't just me that was part of this deal. It was the first time in my life that I'd realized that one of the instructions that they were trying to teach me was that when we learned these steps, and when we were given so freely what was given to those that went before us, that it was our turn to pass it on. Now, I believe the steps were about achieving balance in our lives. I believe the steps were about achieving harmony. And I found that the steps were very much like my first civics lesson. And that was that with freedom goes responsibility. And I think that that's an important thing that I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous, that this freedom does not come without responsibility. And I hope that'll be something that we can all think about today. With that, I'd like to turn the program over to our first speaker, Nancy from Maryland.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Nancy Kunkel. And my sobriety date, July 4th, 1988. So if you're sitting out there and you know you do not know yet what life beyond your wildest dreams is, I can tell you 22 years ago today, I never in my wildest dreams thought that I'd be at the International Convention in San Antonio, Texas, talking about personal responsibility. That's beyond my wildest dreams. My home group is the Elk Ridge Monday Night Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. Oddly enough, we meet in Elk Ridge, Maryland on Monday night. We're about 15 miles south of Baltimore. My current service position is a key holder and a coffee maker. I think I make pretty good coffee, so if you're ever in the Baltimore area, please stop by. And I've heard other people sharing, don't stop by all at once. I'd love to have you all at once at my home group. We'll find a spot for you. Show up. I want to thank Rick for the loving invitation to come share with you today. I think, I'm not sure yet. In about 20 minutes, I'll be real grateful he asked me. I got to share with you, I struggled really hard. Do I write something out? Do I do something prepared? Because that's the way I've been raised in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't. So I have no idea what God has in store for you today. I have some bullet points of things I want to try to remember to share. Dude's in charge, that's all I can say. I do have one prepared thing that I want to read as I was going through my mind one more time last night, saying, God, what am I going to share with these people? I use my as-built sees it as a daily reflections, and I just opened it up, and it happened to open up to the very last page, and it's a writing by Bill. So I'd like to start with that, and hopefully by the time I end, God's going to show up and you all will be okay. Dear friends, since 1938, the greatest part of my AA life has been spent in helping to create, design, manage, and ensure the solvency and effectiveness of AA's world services, the office of which has enabled our fellowship to function all over the globe and as a unified whole. It is no exaggeration to say that under their trustees, these all-important services have accounted for much of our present size and overall effectiveness. The AA General Service Office is by far the largest single carrier of the AA message. It is well-related AA to the troubled world in which we live. It has fostered the spread of our fellowship everywhere. AA World Services, Inc. stands ready to serve the special needs of any group or isolated individual, no matter the distance or language. Its many years of accumulated experience are available to all of us. The members of our trusteeship, the General Service Board of AA, will in the future be our primary leaders in all of world affairs. This high responsibility has long since been delegated to them. They are the successors in world service to Dr. Bob and to me, and they are directly accountable to AA as a whole. This is the legacy of world service responsibility that we vanishing old-timers, me not one of them, are leaving to you, the AAs of today and tomorrow. We know that you will guard, support, and cherish this world legacy as the greatest collective responsibility that AA has or ever can have. Yours in trust and affection, Bill. It was a God moment for me when I read that. It kind of put in perspective why I'm here. And, you know, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous July 4th, 1988, I'd been coming for 11 months. And for the 3 years before that, I'd been walking the streets of Atlantic City and Philadelphia. And I couldn't figure out how I got there. And I had ended up living with my mom in Columbia, Maryland, and was brought to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting of August of 1987 and got sober July of 1988. And I came to AA on a daily basis, and I didn't know anything about personal responsibility and letting it begin with me. I had no idea what responsibility meant. July 4th was no different than July 3rd. I just hated me more on July 4th than I hated me on July 3rd. I did the one thing that I'd been unwilling to do in the previous 11 months, and that was to ask a God to help me stay sober. I was real lucky, you know, from that day to this, knock on wood or plastic, I've to the best of my ability, said that prayer every day, and it's worked for me. I was very lucky. I was hooked up with a group of people in Howard County, Maryland that were, back then, I was 25 years old. I'm 48 now. That were active and involved in service to Alcoholics Anonymous. They were part of the service structure. They were involved in the local convention. I had no idea what general service was. I started dating a guy at 3 months sober. And he's sitting in the audience today as my husband. And he was a GSR at the time, and he was active and involved in this convention. It wasn't through any altruistic motive that I got involved in service. I was following him around like a puppy in heat. He had 5 years. I had 3 months. You know, I figured I didn't need a sponsor. I didn't need any of that stuff because I have him, and he's going to fix me. And he was involved, and that's how I got involved in service work. You know, I'm one of several alcoholics that I hear share in meetings wherever I go that suffer from low self-esteem, and I'm not good enough, and I'm not worthy, and I'm never going to measure up. And what getting involved in that convention did is they asked me to do something, and it gave me value, and it gave me worth, and it made me feel like I was something and somebody. And that's what attracted me to doing it. It's like I work 10 times as hard to prove to you that I'm good enough to do whatever it is you ask me to do. I didn't care. And what I found is that it surrounded me with members of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and so I just stayed involved, and I'm still involved to this day. They can't get rid of me no matter how hard they try. And again, I didn't know anything about personal responsibility. I was just hooked up with a bunch of people that were doing things. And I heard you say, if you want what we have, then do what I do. So I did what you did. Now I have what you have. And I am so grateful for that. The things that I want to talk about on personal responsibility, my notes were hopefully I'm going to cover what it's like to be personally responsible as an AA member. You know, there's some things I do in my home group, and I only do it in my home group. What you do in your home group is your business, but what happens in mine, that's my business. You know, I think the most important job in an AA group is the cleanup, because if we don't leave our church as clean as it was when we got there, they're not going to let us come back anymore. You know, and I take pride and I take joy in my home group. You know, I love being the setup person and making sure that the coffee's just right and it's cups, coffee, condiments, so then you don't get backed up with the line. And, you know, it keeps it moving. And, you know, and people taught me how to do that, how to set up the chairs. And I've gotten really good when we have new setup crew. I just let them set the chairs up however they want. And then when they go outside to smoke, I don't do it all the time. I don't do it all the time, just some of the time. You know, but I take pride in my home group. You know, I don't say I have the best home group in the universe. I have the home group that fits me just right. You know, and I've been a member of that group for 20 years. You know, I won't be there Monday night because I'm here, so my commitment is covered. And that's, to me, that's a responsibility, making sure that my commitment's covered. You know, I don't know about you, but when you have your group conscious, my group meets quarterly. We change jobs every 3 months. We do an annual inventory. It's important for my group to take an inventory and look to see how we're serving our community, the things that we are and that we aren't doing. What could we do better? Are we reaching out to the newcomer? Is turnover excessive? Are we taking care when we select our trusted servants? You know, everybody laughs when they talk about, oh, I went to the bathroom and was elected GSR. It's not funny. Not to me. You know, I was very involved in the service structure, and I sat in my home group for 8 years without a GSR. And they thought, well, she's going to the assembly. She can breathe the information back. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I chose not to give it to them. If they wanted the information, they needed to be responsible enough to elect a GSR that would show up at the area assemblies. It wasn't my job. I was the area secretary. I was the convention chair. I was the area treasurer. I was doing my job being responsible to the area, and I try to pass that on to my group, that it's not just a nothing job. It's an important job to be connected and to be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. Same with our inner groups. You know, I don't know how many of you in this room got sober by picking up the phone and calling your local inner group. But that's an important job, to support the intergroups and to be a part of it. And if you're an intergroup rep, to show up at the meeting, you know, and just to do the response. And that's just the way I was raised in AA. You know, I grew up with sponsorship that taught me how to make a commitment and keep a commitment, not just say I'm going to do something, you know, and then forget about it and then give you excuses later. You know, I grew up with sponsorship, and one of them sitting in the room now, that taught me how to suit up and show up. and be a responsible member of society. And by doing all of that stuff, I've been employed with the same employer for 21 years. And that just amazes me on a daily basis that they pay me to do what I do. You know, and I couldn't have done that without Alcoholics Anonymous. In my own recovery, I'm responsible to be an active participant in my own recovery. You know, not just talk about the steps. When I sponsor a woman, we get the big book and we start at the contents page. And we read the first 164 pages together. That's the sponsorship that I grew up with. You know, that we do it together, because I don't know about you. I can only share about me. My sponsor would give me a reading assignment, and I wouldn't read it till it was like 2 minutes before we're going to meet, and I got nothing out of it. But I wanted to look like I did what I was supposed to be doing. I found for me to stay in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, for me to understand the steps, for me to work the steps again, I need to do it with the women that I sponsor. You know, and we'll go through the 12 and 12 together. You know, and if there's an action in the book, we take it together. And my recovery is important to show that I'm working it and to show it in my own home. You know, and to try. I'm a mom and teenagers, and sometimes they don't mix real well. And I'm not proud of all the actions that I took, but I tried to be a responsible mom and a responsible AA member and show that this program works. And I'm guessing we did okay, because my 20-year-old has 2 years and 9 months, and she's here enjoying her first international convention. And there's a piece of me that wants to believe that if I wasn't responsible as an AA member and didn't show how this thing worked and how great it was and what the joy of living was really like, that she wouldn't have even given this thing a second shot. She wouldn't have even thought about AA. So a little piece of me wants to think that that's part of it between me and my husband. You know, it's important for me, as far as the traditions and unity, to be responsible. And the example that came to my head when we talked about this, and it's funny because the person that made the motion about this in my home group is here tonight or this afternoon. I believe so wholeheartedly in that first tradition about unity and keeping this thing together. Back in the day when you could smoke in every meeting and there was ashtrays everywhere, the issue of not smoking came up at a group conscience. Well, I was, you know, outside issue, blah, 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 and I didn't vote on the issue. But because I believe in unity and my group decided to no longer smoke in the group, I stood behind that group conscience even though I didn't believe in it. I didn't like it, didn't want it to happen. I believe that a loving God spoke through that group and they chose not to smoke. Now, I could be like, you know, whatever, I don't care, and sit there and change smoke in a meeting if I wanted. But my group conscience said, no, it's not the right thing to do. We ought to not smoke. And I abide by that. I don't believe in every decision that my group makes. I don't believe in every decision that my area makes. But regardless of my personal opinion, and that's what it is, my personal opinion, I stand by and support the decisions of my district, my area, my group. And I'm responsible for that. And to not badmouth it and talk bad about it, to try and find the good and believe that a loving God brought this group of people to that decision, and to try and see where the traditions come into play, and try and share that with other members of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and I talked a little bit about sponsorship. You know, I don't beat into my sponsees to get involved in service the way I'm involved in service, but I do share with them that it's important that they do something outside their home group, because AA is so much bigger than Elk Ridge Monday night. You know, look around this room. It's huge, you know. And so I pass that on, and a lot of people are surprised that I don't have all my sponsees or GSRs. They're doing something outside of the home group. That's the only thing that I ask that they do. I don't really care what it is. You know, get involved in the district. Do treatment work. Do corrections work. You know, go answer phones at the intergroup. Just find whatever it is that lights your world on fire and makes you want more of this thing, and do it and give 1,000% to that. And your life is going to go places you never imagined. I wasn't really paying attention to my watch, but I know I'm getting close. The one thing that popped into my head, there's a story, and probably some of you have heard it before. When I saw this personal responsibility, let it begin with me, I thought about the 10% of the people that are doing 100% of the work in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, we have almost 1,000 groups in the state of Maryland, and we're lucky if we get 100 people at an area assembly, and we're lucky if we get 70 or 80 at an intergroup meeting, and we're lucky if we get a third of the groups at a district meeting. And, you know, I wonder where all the people are, and what came to my mind was this story. Some of you probably know it. Everybody, somebody, nobody, and anybody. Once upon a time, there were four people. Their names were everybody, somebody, nobody, and anybody. Whenever there was an important job to be done, everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. When nobody did it, everybody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought somebody would do it, but nobody realized that nobody would do it. So consequently, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done in the first place. And I kind of take that to heart. My job in Alcoholics Anonymous is to be the best Alcoholics Anonymous member that I can be in every aspect of my life. You know, my daughter before this meeting said I was a traditions Nazi. I don't know if that's true. I would like to think that it's not. I can share with you that I know the 12 steps, and I do, to the best of my ability, try to live them in my life. I do know the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We try to apply them in my personal life. You know, when my husband retired from his job of an iron worker, he wanted to go buy a dump truck and park it out in front of our house. So we had a group conscience. And as a group, we decided a dump truck in an urban city wasn't a good thing in our neighborhood, and that maybe a one-ton dually would be good. So that's what we decided on. I'm going to close because I don't want to go over, and he said he was afraid to pull my pants. So I guess it was about 10 years sober I found this, and this rings so true to me. And I don't know what took me 10 years to find this. I have no idea. On page, and I like telling you the page, I hate it when people tell me, oh, go find it, because I can never find it. Page 14 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again, and if he drank, he would surely die. I don't want to die. I want more of what Alcoholics Anonymous has given me, and I have found through being a responsible member of Alcoholics Anonymous, saying yes when I don't want to, saying yes when it's the last thing on earth that I want to do. I really don't want to spend my Saturday when it's like 90 degrees and I'm a sun goddess and I got a pool and I want to lay out. I don't want to go to an area assembly. But if I'm not, then nobody is. It goes back. For me, I need to get involved and I need to do those things because it's, we need 10 of these things in 12 hours and 13 years and 8 months or whatever to tell you the gifts that I've gotten out of being involved in Alcoholics Anonymous and just showing up and being responsible. I'm not a perfect member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I make mistakes every day. But through service and self-sacrifice to others, I found a God that absolutely loves me. Perfect, right here, right now. And there's no greater gift for me than that. And I want more. I don't have fear today. I can love today with all my heart and risk being hurt and just live in life beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I want to close with thanking you for coming to my party for my 22 years. And I'm done.
Thank you so much. That was great. Have any of you, I guess everybody did last night, but I've had an opportunity to hear our new chairman of the board, Ward Ewing, three times this weekend. And I can't remember exactly when he was talking about it in such a personal way, but I just, he really yanked my chain when he was talking about the fact, you know, Nancy mentioned that, it was written in one of the passages that she read about the General Service Office being the greatest carrier of the message. That's probably true in volume. But Ward Ewing was talking about the fact that in spite of all the technology that we've embraced and despite all the work that's gone on in public information and CPC and all the things that we've done to carry the message around the world as a fellowship in the United States and Canada, he said the message is still carried one drunk to another on a personal basis. And that's the difference between us taking responsibility by sending some money off to the area or the district or the GSO or to the intergroup office and doing what general services is what we talk about most of the time, but doing 12-step work in our home group brings the responsibility to the personal level. And it was so nice to hear that reiterated so eloquently this weekend, both by the chairman of the board and by Nancy. I'd like now to introduce John from Manitoba.
Wow, that's going to be hard to follow. That was absolutely fabulous, Nancy. Well, welcome to room 007. My name's Bond. James? No, that's another life. My name's John, and I'm a very grateful alcoholic. And because I am a member of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and by the grace of the power I found through the 12-step program, the book Alcoholics Anonymous, I have found it necessary to take a drink of alcohol since June 26th of 1984, and for that I'm very grateful. Thank you. I don't know when it was I started introducing myself as a grateful alcoholic. It's a long time ago, I know that. But I can remember my first meeting when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I couldn't use those two words in the same sentence, grateful and alcoholic. You know, I don't know how grateful I was at that first meeting, but I do know that I was very thankful to be there. I do know that, absolutely. I got some crib notes right here. No, they're not that bad. I do have some crib notes because if I got 3 hours to talk, I don't need them. But when I want to make some points, I need them because I wander. You know, it's very easy to do this, you know, but I find it very hard when you got to talk about a specific topic. So that's why I got some notes here that I'm going to have to follow if I want to keep on track. I just came from a past delegates luncheon. And I heard from Phyllis, our general manager at the GSO, she announced, and I asked her after if I could announce it, you know, if I could let it out of the bag, you know, if she wanted me to keep it under wraps, and she said, no, go ahead. The account that she gave at that luncheon was 52,000 of us here this weekend. That I think is great. I'm excited. I'm really excited about this convention. This is my sixth convention of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was thinking this morning in prayer and meditation, you know, because I couldn't understand. You know, I felt that this was the best one that I've attended, in over the years. And I couldn't understand why. And I was in prayer and meditation this morning, and it came to me, just almost in a flash, why this one felt like the best one. And the reason it does is because I was volunteering. I was serving. I put that green shirt on yesterday, and I was in the Marriott Hotel, and I was excited about it. I was excited, and I was at our hospitality suite volunteering and serving. And I thought this morning, that's the way it's always been in Alcoholics Anonymous. When I was feeling good and I was excited, what was I doing? I was getting out of self. I was getting away from myself, you know, really. And that's the way it is in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what I found anyway. I have a home group in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. That home group is the Back to Basics Big Book Study. And I love that group. And when we're looking at this topic today of personal responsibility, I think that's where my responsibility started, as Nancy made the point. When I came to that first home group, which wasn't Back to Basics, I came to that group, though. I came to the fellowship, and that's where responsibility started for me, my personal responsibility. Because, you see, that day when I called our central office in Winnipeg, I started to take personal responsibility for my well-being, for my life, and I was to find out for my sobriety. It started right at that very first home group was where my responsibility to myself, you know, that's where it started. You know, I bring with me a couple of things. One of these booklets that we have at GSO, it's a grapevine book. It's the home group, Heartbeat of AA. And on the preface of that, you know, it talks about the home group is where recovery begins. And I believe that to be so. You know, that's where my recovery started. You know, I didn't recover just because I was going to meetings and sitting there. You know, I had to do some work. And that's what I want to talk about in this personal responsibility. But I want to tell you, I came down here last Monday we got in. And I came to San Antonio as a Canadian, eh? And you're all sending me back as a Texan. You know, I love this San Antonio. This is the first time I've been in Texas, matter of fact. But I love San Antonio. I love the people. I love the atmosphere. You know, I love the food. Everything has been fabulous. And I love this, you know. So I'm gonna talk about some principles. I'm gonna talk about being responsible. You know, I started working the steps, you know, to the best of my ability when I got a sponsor and started looking at this program. And I had to take that responsibility for my sobriety by doing that work, taking the action. You know, I certainly needed to. And it's been an ongoing process for me, you know, these 12 steps. And I have a card that I carry. And I got this card probably in the first year of my sobriety. You know, someone from my first home group gave it to me. And this card has a declaration on it. And this card says, I am responsible. When anyone, anywhere reaches out for help or want the hand of AA, always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. Now, this card does not say that we are responsible. It doesn't say that you are responsible. It doesn't say that they are responsible. It says I am responsible. And I take that responsibility very seriously. You know, it's my responsibility, what I do. And I've been carrying this card with me for I just turned 26 years last weekend. I've been carrying this with me all that time. You know, I started working these steps. And when I got to the third step, I looked at where my the root of my troubles are. You know, and I'm one of those ones that look at page numbers, and I'll tell you what page it's on. It's on page 62. And it talks about selfishness, self-centeredness. That, we think, is the root of our troubles. So, as it says in the next, we think, our troubles, so we think, are basically of our own making. You know, when I learned that stuff, as I was going through these steps, this program, I had to start taking responsibility. You know, I used to be a great blamer when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. It was everybody else's fault. Nothing was my fault. Nothing was my responsibility. If everybody would just treat me right, I wouldn't have to do the things I did. You know, that was the way I felt. Knowing this now, what I just read, I have to take responsibility. And I completed the 12 steps, and I've continued to do them, you know, on an ongoing basis. You know, I just didn't do them once and say that's good enough. I'm finished with it. I have to keep on doing them. And the more I do them, the more I learn. The more I learn, the more responsibility I have to take, you know, for my life. And now I can't be the blamer. I can't be the victim of circumstances in life. I have a choice. I can either live in it or I can do something about it. And I want to make it, you know, very, very clear that just because I'm not drinking doesn't mean that life stops. You know, life happens. And that's what I try to carry today. The basic message that I try to carry is, and I used to say this a lot when I was in Alcoholics Anonymous at meetings and everything. I said it for years and years and years. Whatever problem you're going through, Alcoholics Anonymous has the answer for it. And I believe that. And that's what I said. Today, I believe that statement with all of the fiber in my being. I believe that wholeheartedly because I've gone through things that I never went through before. You know, I went through a very serious, bad divorce about 8 years ago. And it was the blackest moment of my life, never mind my sober life, my whole life, drinking included. It was a bad, bad situation. And I had some pain, and I had some trials and low spots. But I got through it, and I got through it sober, and I got through it because of the fellowship, because of the program, because of sponsorship, because of a God of my understanding that I had connected with through the working of these steps. And I got through it. And so when I say to any new person that whatever is going on in your life, whether it's relationships, financial, or whatever, you can get through it if you will do the things that I do. And the things I do is I work this program out of the book Alcoholics Anonymous to the best of my ability, and I've got some great, great results, as I know countless, countless, countless others have. So I know that very well. You know, I need to be responsible when it comes to personal responsibility. I need to be responsible to be at the meeting of my home group. Personal responsibility starts at the home group, it says. And I need to be there for the new person coming down those stairs. Just as they were there when I came up to my first meeting. There was people there. And I often challenge people, and I'll do the same thing for you. Think about it. When you went to your first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, did you walk into an empty room, or were there people there to greet you and extend their hand? Because there was a lot of people waiting for me when I went to my first meeting. And you know, certainly today I could probably miss a meeting or two, you know, go golfing, you know, do other things, you know, but I don't do that. I have a responsibility today to be there. And it's not for so much for me. It's for another person that's coming down, that newcomer. I need to extend my hand and welcome them to Alcoholics Anonymous and be there for them. You know, so that's why I'm at my home group. You want to see me on a Wednesday night? You just come to my home group and you'll find me there. That's where I am. Rain, shine, sickness, anything. You know, I'm there. That's my personal responsibility that I have. I need to be personally responsible to help that home group understand the 12 traditions, as Nancy made a very good point of. You know, I need to do that. Because that is what's going to keep my group there. I'm not responsible to have other people do what I do. That I don't take that responsibility on. You know, that's their responsibility. My responsibility ends with trying to have them understand it. You know, and when a newcomer comes to our group, we look at the traditions every meeting, and when a new person comes and they've been there for a little while, they understand that the traditions are very important for survival in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was written a long time ago by our co-founder, Bill. Bill said, if Alcoholics Anonymous is to die, it's going to die from within. And if it dies from within, it probably means I've given up that responsibility for its life, its vitality, life-giving. It's probably my responsibility that I've shucked or I've disregarded. So I do have that responsibility. You know, Nancy made the point about Bill, you know, on page 14 when Bill had that vital spiritual experience of his and immediately started thinking of others. And that's personal to all of us, what we do with that when we get to the 12th step. Do I take that responsibility? Because I believe the 12th step charges me with the responsibility to try to carry this message. And I've tried to do that for a long time now. You know, and sometimes people don't want to hear what I got to say about this stuff. But it's in trying that I'm able to stay sober. It's in trying that I've been able to do things and have my conscious contact with my higher power say, you're doing good, son. Here's another day of sobriety for you. It's in trying, that's all. You know, that's a responsibility that it gives me. Working with others is a huge, huge personal responsibility I have. I want to read one thing, and it comes from the chapter Working with Others. It says, helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act a good Samaritan every day, if need be. It may mean the loss of many nights' sleep, great interference with your pleasures, interruptions to your business. It may mean sharing your money in your home, counseling frantic wives and relatives, innumerable trips to police courts, sanitariums, hospitals, jails, and asylums. Your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. Your wife may sometimes say she is neglected. A drunk may smash the furniture in your home or burn a mattress. You may have to fight with him if he is violent. Sometimes you will have to call the doctor and administer sedatives under his direction. Another time, you may have to send for the police or an ambulance. Occasionally, you will have to meet these occasions. And on the top of that paragraph, it says, never avoid these responsibilities, but be sure you are doing the right thing if you assume them. See, I've had to do all those things I just read, pretty much, in my 26 years of being sober. I had to assume those responsibilities because I was at the 12th step. And that part of step 12 says we try to carry this message. And I have to do some of these things to try to carry the message. You know, today, I'm just going to kind of wrap it up. I think I've only been going 15 minutes, if my clock is right. But I have a life today that's absolutely wonderful. You know, I have friends. I have many friends in this room from all over the country. You know, Canada, United States. that are here. I have that fellowship wherever I go. You know, and that's why I've had such a blast, you know, meeting new people over this time being here in San Antonio. You know, I have a fellowship of friends, you know, that is absolutely wonderful. I didn't have a lot of friends when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. When I look back in my life prior to AA, I don't have anybody that I associate with that I knew before Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I see some people once in a while, but I don't have anybody at all that I associate with on a regular basis. Everyone is what I've met in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm very thankful for that. We came down here last Monday, but on Sunday, Minneapolis is about 500 miles from where I live in Winnipeg. And we drove down to Minneapolis, three of us. And we stayed with a friend in the fellowship that I've known for many, many years that lives in Minneapolis. And we spent the night at his place and had a wonderful visit. And in the morning on Monday, I went with him because his daughter is going to a gifted child school in September. And we walked in for him to drop off his registration for his daughter. And we walked into the main office area of the school, and we were looking around, and I saw a sign on a window of the vice principal's office. And it really caught my attention, because this is what we're talking about today. And I want to show you what was on that window. This here. And for you in the back, you can't see it. It says, "It starts with me." This is the school mantra or whatever you call it. I don't even know what you call it. This is what the school believes and teaches their children. And on these four squares here, it says respect, integrity, teamwork, responsibility. That is what the children of that school are learning. I didn't know any of these things prior to Alcoholics Anonymous. If I knew them, I certainly didn't practice them. That's more like it. But I went up to the vice principal who was sitting at his desk, and I said, "I'm going to San Antonio. I'm going to give a little talk." And I said, "Would you have a copy of that that's on your window?" And he looked on his computer, couldn't find it. So he said, "Here, take this." And he gave it to me. But this is what they're teaching kids, you know, in that school. I think that's wonderful. I have new responsibilities today at my home. I'm a single father. Me and my wife have been divorced now. I have two children. Jessa, who is going to be 16. Ooh, what an age. She just got her beginners, too, her beginner's license. She lives with her mother. I have my son, who's going to be 13 in November. He's been diagnosed with ADHD. And he came to live with me this year in September when the new school year started. And I'll tell you, it's a different responsibility, you know, that I've taken on this year, being that single father. And I've had challenges. But you see, that ex-wife, his mother, she's also a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she's got 2 years less sobriety than me. And in that divorce, I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of hatred for that woman because of what had happened through it. But I got through it. And we have such a working relationship today that people are amazed that we work together for the sake of our children. And that we owe it to Alcoholics Anonymous. I also have my lady Sharon is at home. She didn't want to come with me this weekend. You know, because you can't take the pace that I set for myself. But she's a black belt Al-Anon. She's a big book Al-Anon, and she carries the message to her sponsees through the big book in Al-Anon. But I have her in my life. We have been together almost 6 years. In September will be six. We don't live together. We live on opposite ends of the city. But we have such a wonderful relationship that she's teaching me different kinds of responsibilities and how to act through those responsibilities. I love her dearly. And I'm thankful that I have in my life today. And I'm learning how to be more responsible in a relationship. I wish I had some more time. I'm going to end off right now because it looks like it's right on 20 minutes before as far as my watch goes. I wish I had some more time to talk to you. But I want to end off with a paragraph from our book. I do a lot of prison work. I go into our federal prisons, and I haven't done that recently, but I go into our provincial prison. And I talk to the drunks that are in there. And every time I end off a meeting, I end off with this paragraph. Because it was taught to me by a good friend, Don P. from Colorado, showed me this and talked to me about this. And I end off all my meetings in a prison with this paragraph, but it applies just as much to here as it does there. And before I do that, I want to welcome everyone, particularly the new people who are 5 years or less, or 1 year or less. Just stick around and give yourself a chance. But do it with the book Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to end off with this paragraph. It says, both you and a new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us, when we put ourselves in God's hands, were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. Whatever you're going through, it will get better. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, John. I want to take just a second to apologize to my sponsor and maybe even to y'all about I was taught from the very early days of AA, of my AA, that when I was going to be asked by somebody to be at the dais that I should not only show up but suit up. And I've been retired now for 10 years, and I went to a couple international conventions as a GSO staff member and wore suits the whole thing. And this time I wasn't prepared because of the last minute change. I wasn't prepared to have a suit ready for this afternoon. But my sponsor might forgive me and might even laugh a little when he knows what it took for me to even get ready with a pair of long pants. Turns out that, of course, when you get to be in your 70s, it's a little harder to get around and turn around and everything. And I was in the bathroom, first time I'd put on long pants since I'd been here, and I was in the bathroom and there was a mirror. And it was right across from the shower where my wife was taking a shower. And I just was trying to tuck my shirt into my pants. And somehow I stuck the shower curtain in there. And I just yelled to my wife, goodbye, I'll see you later. And I took off out the door. Here comes the shower curtain with me. So, interesting. I can see that there's at least one person in the room that doesn't believe me. Anyway, back to the personal responsibility. I'm proud to introduce now Gary from Phoenix, Arizona.
My name is Gary. I'm an alcoholic.
Well, the speaker thing just broke.
Had a good time in a Viagra.
There.
Do not touch. It's a story of my life. I'm a real alcoholic. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. My sobriety date is June 1st, 1984, and my home group is the Monday Night Step Group in Phoenix. So I am... I'm delighted to be here. Just before I got here, I did some step work with a step guide, we were working on the fifth step, and I got to kind of the end of it, and there's a question there, do you feel delighted, or are you delighted? And I said, no. And he said, well, maybe you should look up the word delighted in a 1939 dictionary. Well, I didn't have a 1939 dictionary, so I looked on the internet, and all I could find was joy, and I thought that's what it, you know, meant. But he had a real 1939 dictionary, and he looked it up, and what it meant was satisfied. What it meant in 1939 when Bill wrote it, one of the definitions was satisfied. So that meant something to me, because I'm very satisfied with my life as a result of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's really what it means. I'm just delighted with the miracle that's happened in my life. The miracle that's happened in my life as a result of Alcoholics Anonymous. Personal responsibility. You know, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought I was very responsible. I had three children. I had a wife. I had a house. I had a bunch of cars. I had a bunch of businesses. I had a drinking problem. And that's all I thought I had. But I was taking care of everything. I mean, I thought it was all about money, really. That as long as I paid for the kids to have a roof over their head, the wife to have the clothes she wanted and drive the car that she wanted, and me to do what I wanted to do, I was responsible. That's about as deep as it went. Because what I was up to, it was all about doing what I wanted to do. You see, the wife was there because I believe that was part of the package, that for me to look good, I needed a wife in my life. That was it. For me to have children in my life, that was part of the belief system that I had to look good. I was all about power, property, and prestige. I just wanted to impress you so that I could somehow impress me enough to drown out the feelings of inadequacy that I had inside of me. Somehow I needed to feel good enough. So most of my energy was spent in trying to look good, make enough money, get enough stuff so that I could try to fill up this hole in the inside. See, I didn't understand alcoholism, that the problem is inside. You know, I thought that if I got... I had a checklist when I was young that included things like get married, have children, have a house, have businesses, make lots of money, retire early, and go in the Army, be an officer, graduate from college, graduate from high school, all those things. And I went working on that list, you know, because that was my dream list. If I completed that list, I'd be okay. You see, because I didn't feel okay. I didn't feel okay inside my own skin. That's gratitude. What I just felt there was just the overwhelming gratitude. To be alive and full of your love, really. In the beginning, I didn't love myself at all. You had to give me some love. I didn't feel like I deserved it, really. So being responsible was a hard concept for me to grasp. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, they talked about it. But the truth of it is, you can't be responsible until you get well enough to even comprehend it or understand it. You know, if you're an alcoholic like I was, very sick, you get here and you're not ready to really do the deal, nothing happens, really. Not much changes except I quit drinking. And I thought Alcoholics Anonymous was just a way to get where I wanted to go quicker. I had a sponsor. He was very wealthy. He owned 35 fast food restaurants, and I pretty quickly understood that I wanted what he had. You know, I understood that, and I just wanted him to teach me how to get it. You know, and yeah, I'll go along with this. This little deal you guys got going here. That, you know, I believe in God. Step one. And I got a little problem with alcohol. That's true. And step two, that, yeah, I believe I went to parochial school, so I know there's a God out there. And I made a decision that I'd let God give me a hand because I want to get there, you know, quick. And I looked at some character defects and found out it was a way to kind of beat up on myself. And I said, God, yeah, you can take him away. I mean, you know, I'm willing to take your help. And I talked to some people that I'd harmed, but. My problem was really 1, 2, and 3. I didn't want to take responsibility for my own recovery. Really, that's really what it was. Because I had a plan. I had a big plan for me. You know, I planned to be somebody. I planned to prove to you that I was okay. Really, behind it all, that's really what it amounted to. Because I didn't feel okay, so I was driven to convince myself and you that I was okay. So I started that journey in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got a sponsor, basically a mentor that's going to teach me how to make it. I got a book. I mean, it's like going to college. They give you a book. You know, it's a basic textbook. They even call it that, for God's sake. And so, you know, I was always good in college, you know, because I wanted to succeed. So, I mean, I can regurgitate all those words and sound good and look good. It didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't work because it talks about taking step one 100%, about giving up, about getting out of my own way. Powerless. God, for a guy that's driven like a maniac, really. To look good, sound good, be good, impress you, and to admit that I'm powerless. I mean, that was a really hard thing to swallow for me. Really hard. Although I was in Alcoholics Anonymous, it took a long time for me to get ground down to size. Not trying as hard as I could. I was all, you know, try harder. I really understood that. Try harder. But in Alcoholics Anonymous, I eventually learned that try less, pray more seems to be a lot more effective. I was always, you know, president of this, president of that, charge of this and charge of that. In Alcoholics Anonymous, it really wasn't any different. Actually, it was even easier because there's very few people in line to do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous. The line is very short. Nancy talked about it, 10%, so my odds were better, you know. My odds were better, but eventually, it's about honesty. That was the magic ingredients I was missing. You know, that I had to get honest that my way didn't work. That I wasn't God. I had to get out of my own way and admit that I didn't have the power to become responsible. I needed God's help to do those things that they talked about. To do those things that good members of Alcoholics Anonymous do, I had to get well. I first had to ask God for help. Help me give up, God. And he did. I'd been an alcoholic. It takes a long time. To me, it's kind of like, you remember most of you are probably too young, but when I was young, they used to have toys. You wound up in little tops and you put them on the ground and they spun and they spun and they spun and they spun and eventually they wore down and they quit. And that was me. Mine was wound pretty tight. So it took quite a while for the top to the spring to release, and you know, it was double digit sobriety really, and I was looking good as about getting a sponsor, getting a home group, talking about the steps, I guess. And I did all that stuff, you know, because people ask you tough questions in AA, like, have you got a sponsor? Have you got a home group? Are you doing this stuff? You know, and if you don't, after a while, you just learn that you better get the right answer. They're going to give you a hard time. I mean, really. And so the sponsor I had at the time just disappeared. And I started praying for a new one, you know, because I didn't want to answer those questions again. And I sat down and I was starting to really hurt again, because my sobriety is up and down, you know, a little God, no God, a little God, a lot of Gary, you know, alcoholism, the ism, I sponsor myself, that's the one I pretty much went by, I sponsor myself. And so I was looking for another, you know, friend to hang out with that they call a sponsor. And I went to an intergroup office. I sat down. I answered the phone. I was being responsible. I was, you know, looking good, answering the phone, you know, helping other alcoholics. And, you know, so what? I hadn't really taken step one, but I was looking good. I had a plan. So I run into this guy next to me. There were two phone booths there, basically, you know, two recovered alcoholics. And I started to listen to him. And I'd been praying to God to get me a sponsor. And this guy didn't really like too well because he was pretty straightforward and didn't tell me things that were really kind of loving and kind, you know. And I listened, and he was telling people things out of the big book. And somebody called me that I sponsored, and I gave him some kind of a, you know, the New Age kind of stuff. And he says, well, why didn't you give him some instructions out of the big book? And I thought, mind your own business. But he taught me that the only honest part of an alcoholic is the ear. And when I heard the conversation between him and me, I just knew that he was a sponsor that God wanted me to be with, really. So God finally, I mean, God knew when my spring was going to unwind, you know, he knew. So he didn't bother me until that time, really. So why did I really need somebody that could help me when I'm honest about it? So we sit down and he starts talking about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, I read the book and I knew all that kind of stuff, but he started talking about honesty. He talked about admitting that I'm powerless, that I needed a God to run my life. And I was starting to think that that might be the way to go. So I'm just talking about getting ready to be responsible, really. Because for me, that was the big part. I've always been super responsible if there was something in it for me, like looking good and doing good and all that kind of stuff. But asking God to run the show and show me where he wants me to work, what he wants me to do, that's quite a bit different. So he started talking about the triangle. He started talking about the three sides of the triangle. On the bottom is recovery. On the side is the service. On the other side is unity. And nothing really happens until you start getting serious about the bottom part, the recovery part. You know, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I sat with him. I got off at work, I think, at 1 o'clock in the morning, and he was up. He said, fine, come over whenever you want. So I did the steps. We talked a lot about surrender because that's really, he'd read these books about surrender. And I thought, what is he talking about? You know, he'd read them on and on and on. One of them is called these are some really old books. And that was talking about people's surrender, conversion. You know, really the problem that I was having was I didn't want to give up, you know. And eventually, with the grace of God, really, because that's the only reason I'm here, I did. I worked the 12 steps, and I found out what my primary purpose was. That's my primary purpose in Alcoholics Anonymous, is to practice these principles in all my affairs. That's one part of the 12 step. Another part is to help other alcoholics. And I thought my primary purpose was to use you to get power, property, and prestige. You know, that's what I thought. I mean, that was my plan, you know. And we talked about, you know, my plan, and we talked about making the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And we talked about selfishness and self-centeredness and my selfish ideas. And he said, well, maybe you should consider your plans, your selfish ideas, and maybe let go of those and let God come up with a new plan for you. That's what I heard. And that meant I had to let go of mine. And I was ready, really. Because I finally got honest. My plan wasn't going to work. My plan hadn't worked. Hadn't worked for a long time. But I was still sober. I was still sober. And he talked about taking care of my responsibilities. After I got through the steps, and he said, you're never really through the steps. You live them every day. You know, you live them every day. You practice these principles in all your affairs, everything you do. It's not just AA. It's not just work. It's just not family. It's just not relationships. It's in everything. Oh, I said, what an order. accountability. I don't know about you guys and gals, but that's a tough one for me, accountability. I don't like people. I want to look good, but I don't want you to pay too much attention to me, because I might take a nap here and there, you know. So I got a job in my home group. I got elected GSR because I've been around AA a long time. You know, if the people think if you got a lot of time in AA, you actually know something and you've got some kind of value. That's one of the big delusions in Alcoholics Anonymous, I think, you know. So, you know, just because I had some time, they asked if I'd be GSR, and I was delighted to do it, really, because I was ready to go to work, and I got to be GSR, and then, again, I'd stand in these short lines, and I'd get elected to, you know, other positions, you know, and I started to feel better. I got involved in my primary purpose, helping other alcoholics to recover from alcoholism, you know. I started trying to help other people for, you know, wasn't all about me anymore. I started sponsoring people. I started doing with them what he'd done with me. I started talking about service commitments. I started talking about hanging out with other alcoholics. I talked about trying to be part of. Talked about humility, trying to just be a face in the crowd. Just a face in the crowd. Not, you know, me, I was kind of wanted to have a flashlight, you know. Last night I could relate to that. Just ego-driven. This morning I had a banana for breakfast. I had a banana for breakfast. And I had a great sponsor way back when he talked about really what the problem was. He asked me a question. He said, how do they catch monkeys in Borneo? I mean, you know, sponsors are, you have to be patient sometimes, you know what I mean? Sometimes you say, where is he going with this? I mean, come on. And I just politely said, no, I don't. And he said, well, they take a coconut and they hollow it out just big enough so you can get your fist in, and then they put a banana inside, and then they tie it to a rope, and the monkey comes along and he sticks his hand in there and he grabs the banana. But because he's got the banana in his hand, he can't get his hand back out. Now, monkeys must have some alcoholic traits, because, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to keep hanging on when you're trapped. You know what I mean? So to get out, you have to let go. You have to let go. And that's really my story, really. To get out and move on to personal responsibility, where I start taking care of my children, being a parent to my children, being a husband to my wife, Now I've got grandchildren. Being a grandfather to my grandchildren, I had to get well first. I had to let go of my plans. So for some of you, the moral of the story for me, now I'm not going to steal what it is for you, but for me it was, if you want to quit going bananas, let go. Well, how much time do we have left? Okay, so I think that's enough from you, but for me, you know. I can't help myself, really. But thanks for joining me at the world's largest family reunion that happens every 5 years, and I hope to see you all 5 years from now. Thank you.
Well, as we come to a close, I want to thank our ASL interpreter for being with us today. I want to thank three fine speakers. Let's all thank them. Before we leave, I'd like to take just a minute or two and ask all of you if you would just take a little journey with me. I'd like to imagine, if you would, what it would be like to be in a room at a meeting that took place. The place is Akron, Ohio. The time is 1950. Upstairs at Dr. Bob's house. And the people involved were Bill and Bob. Turned out it was the last time they were ever together. It was shortly before Dr. Bob died. And during that meeting, they contemplated the future of Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, they knew that now, with 15 years under our belt, there was an office in New York that was doing okay. There was a board, foundation board. And there were wonderful non-alcoholic trustees helping us in our fledgling years. But they were worried because the people out here in San Antonio and Maryland and Manitoba and North Carolina didn't know these folks on the board in New York. And those folks that were in the office and in the board in New York didn't know us and didn't know what the needs were in Flat Rock, North Carolina. And they talked about it, and Bill had come up with something called the conference plan, and which I think is one of the greatest writings in Alcoholics Anonymous, but that's not what I want to mention today. I want to mention that when they agreed on the conference plan, what their effort was at that meeting was to turn the fellowship over to us. Not the board, not anybody in the office, to us. And the challenge that I want to present again this afternoon is that we are the successor founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. The successor co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, because they turned it over to us. And today is our time in the saddle. Somebody mentioned being on the backs of giants. We have been there. And it's our turn now to be thinking about what we want AA to be today and what we want it to be for our grandchildren in the future. And it's our turn. And that, to me, is the ultimate responsibility. I wonder if we might just hook up right now and say the responsibility pledge together. I am responsible when anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there, and for that, I am responsible. Thank you, everybody.